Great. Thank you, Juan. The kiddies will go now to kiddies ministry. I think the song will start to play. Great. So about 2 weeks ago, the kiddies ministry had a kiddies church meeting at our house, and I was privileged to be able to sit in there because my wife is leading the kiddies ministry. And I just want to share something about the kiddies ministry before we actually start. While I was sitting there, and I saw mostly it was ladies that's facilitating the kiddies ministry, I had the opportunity to see the heart that there truly is for kiddies ministry. It's basically the same that anyone who's serving in like the big church, but just adapted for the kids. So it was so cool to see just how they need to kind of explode their emotions to be able to get something across, because obviously the attention span is like only 5 minutes long. So every now and then, like, you need to be excited, you need to speak. I'm not going to speak like that this morning. Yeah, I know you see some guys on TV, they do that, but I don't think that's me. But yeah, so I just want everyone whose kids is going to kiddies ministry. I think it starts with my wife, but God definitely gave her a heart for the kids ministry. And yeah, if your kids are there, please feel like they are fine and there is invitation coming their way. But anyways, I want to welcome everyone this morning. I think we can really be excited for what's coming. So obviously you saw, I don't know if my slides are working, Peter. They didn't work, no, but we are starting a new thing in the church for these next 6 weeks. We're starting connect groups. For everyone who's new or who hasn't really heard what connect groups are, it's basically cell, but the cell leader doesn't need to prepare. We're trying to take the burden away from the cell leaders. Basically, the cell or the host, because now there's a host in our connect groups, they will receive a DVD and all the content and everything, all the questions and everything will be on that DVD. And the host will basically just invite a couple of people to their house and we'll just watch the DVD and chat regarding the points. And if we feel we want to pray, if you don't feel we want to pray at your connect group, I think it's cool. It's something different. I think we all are used to the same method of cell going there and so on. So and maybe this is something new. But I think as a whole, the church are being challenged at this stage to adapt to this new way of thinking around connect groups. But this is also something cool because this is more, I want to say, relational focus, friendship focus. So the person who's actually leading doesn't need to worry about content because the content's being given to him. He can just focus on actually building relationship to people. And sometimes that's a burden. Sometimes it's a burden to disconnect with people. I struggle with that. I'm not the evangelist who goes out and just speak to people about God randomly. If you're not excited yet, I hope you will be excited. I'm just starting this whole thing off. For the next 5 weeks, Alistair will speak regarding everything. So you'll see him in the videos, and he will just share his heart, what he thinks is going on. But my sermon for this morning is called To Know God. So the series is Who Am I? But To Know God is what I have on my heart for this morning. So I hope that during this week, Alistair will maybe bring something in the videos regarding this. But if he doesn't, I think this will be a great foundation for all of us to start these six weeks coming. So, my first scripture this morning is in Jeremiah 9, verse 23 to 24. So, if you have your Bibles, I want you to just pop there with me. If you have your Bible on your phone, just go there with me. So, what I want to do this morning, I have a couple of points. And as you can see there, I have the desire. So, there's going to be a couple of points regarding the scripture. But I want the scripture to actually speak for itself. So, I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit to lead me to actually don't really speak at all, but just explain, and the scripture will do the rest. So, before we go and dive into things, I just want to pray for us. Oh Lord, we just thank you for this morning and being able to sit in church, Father, just to be able to be in a place, not even called church, just to be in a place together, Father, where we can get together, we can worship you, Father, we can just sing songs of praise, we can just hear the word, Father, and we just pray, I just pray, Lord, may you come and help me this morning, and may the word of God just come and touch hearts. Now, Father, may it be so simple, Father, that we are able to relate to it, Father, and that each person, Father, where they are at in their lives now, will be able to relate to a certain part of Scripture this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray, may you just come and make things known that are unseen to us. May you just come and make things known through Scripture and lead us into that this morning. Father, I just pray that you may bless everyone here before we start. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. So the first Scripture I want to read is Jeremiah 9, verse 23 to 24. But I want to start with myself before I get into things. Regarding the who am I. So when I was still at school, I'm 24. I had my birthday this past week. And when I was at school, I had a desire to go abroad and experience the world. And I think most of us have that same experience. I think most of us, we think, yo, we want to go overseas and just see the world, experience what's going on in other people's lives, and just get a bigger picture. Not because I grew up in Vicksburg, it's the West Vrystaat, and I came to Bloemfontein, and I've been here ever since. So this is the only piece of land that I know. And I know South Africa pretty well, but I don't know the world, and I don't know the people of the world. But I had an experience to go abroad, but I think most of all, I had an experience to go over to another country and experience church there. I wanted to experience how church is done within their society and how church just functions. Because I think when I was still at school, I thought, oh, church isn't really like effective. Church isn't really leaving an impact, and you can just say, yo, church is just taking over the country. In my preparation, I actually thought to myself, but if I'm really true and I'm really honest to all of you, I just wanted to go and experience things because I didn't really know who I am. I just wanted to find myself. And I had a friend, William Clift. I don't know if some of you guys know him. But he was very, very hard on the scriptures. And so when we just met, I just actually finally committed myself to the Lord. And then William said, yeah, but you want to go overseas and find yourself. But he knows what my heart is to experience church, but he will say. So he was the only guy who actually knew me, who actually could see past this whole thing that I said. I don't know, I want to go experience church and people, but actually I just wanted to find myself. But along the way, I think God changed something in my own life. And God worked within my own life. And he actually showed me that it wasn't necessary. He had other plans. So all the scripture that I'm going to read this morning, I think is a revelation from my own heart. And I will hope to share it from that place. But I hope all of you can just relate to these scriptures as well in your own way. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 to 24. I'm reading out of the ESV Bible. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So when we read the scripture, and normally when we read the scripture, we will just see, don't boast in your riches, don't boast in your wisdom, don't boast in your strength. But at the end of this, of verse 24, it says, for in these things are the light, declares the Lord. It's not the boasting in what we are boasting, but if we are boasting in God alone, and if we are boasting in Him, understanding Him, and that we know Him, not knowing about Him. Because I think as South Africans, we grew up in religious homes or in our schools, so we have seen faith and Christianity in our country. But this is not that. This is not knowing about Him. This is truly knowing Him, understanding Him, knowing His ways. There's a certain scripture that speaks like, Lord, reveal to me your heart. Reveal to me your ways. And we can have that desire to actually know Him, actually understand Him. But most of all, and that is where I come to the desire, God has a desire to see us, knowing Him, understanding Him. And I got the scripture in Psalm 53, verse 2. I'm not going to go there now. But it says, God of heaven is looking down on us and searching our hearts to see if there are any who understand and seek Him. God of heaven is sitting there looking down at us, anxiously waiting to see us, not boast in our strength, not boast in our wisdom, not boast in our riches, but to boast in Him, understanding Him, knowing Him. And that's I think that's the best picture that I can get for myself, is to know that even though I'm busy, even though my life is occupied, I know that God of heaven is looking down, looking at me, and He wants to see me, just seeking Him, understanding Him, knowing Him. So that's the desire, and this whole sermon, that will be the foundation for this whole sermon, and I hope for these next 6 weeks as well. But coming from that, we as people, we come to a place where we have a choice. So yes, we grew up with Christianity in our homes, or at school, or we were exposed to people who were of faith, but we come to a choice. We come to a place where there is a choice. So the next scripture that I want to go to is Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. So I will just go there myself. Matthew 7. So Jesus says in verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat against the house, and it fell. And we know the story. Great was his fall. So now we come to a place where we as God's created people, have a choice. The same way that Adam and Eve had a choice. Adam and Eve also came to a part where they were tempted, and now I need to choose. Now I need to choose which way I'm going. And then when we are speaking in church and regarding Christ and regarding God, we as Christians have a choice to follow that. So this scripture, we all know it, and we've been doing it since we were at the Kiddies Church. But for us, it means so much more. This choice can lead to us knowing and understanding God. So if we just deviate a little bit to building our house on the sand, our choice was wrong. And we might think that we know Him, but we only know about Him. And so it's such a small place where we can just deviate from the road. And then, so normally when we read the scripture, we're like, yo, atheists, they just build their house on the sand. Can't they see what's going on? But I think within our religiousness also comes in, and the road just splits. And we as people just come to a fork in the road, and we need to choose. We need to choose, yes. We need to make a choice to go in a certain direction. But once again, in the first part of the scripture, Jesus says, if you are a wise man, you will build your house on the rock. And if you are a foolish man, you will build your house on the sand. But now again, it's coming to a place. If we are foolish, we are boasting in our own wisdom. If we are foolish, we are boasting in the ways that we think. But we are truly wise when we build our house on the rock. And that's not boasting in ourselves, but boasting in God. I hope you get that. It's a little confusing because it goes around and around and around, but we don't get to it straight on. So that's regarding the choice. And now we as Christians, we have a choice to go either left or right, or get to a fork in the road and make a choice. But now, our commitment is at stake. We are coming to a place where life gets tough, and we've made a good choice. We are building our house on the rock, but temptation comes, life happens, we get occupied, and now we need to make a choice. Are we to be committed to the choices that we have made already? In Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8, I will also read that from our Bible. Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8. So Paul is writing to the church of Philippians. But whatever I gain, I count it all as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Okay, so first I want to start where we all know the scripture. If we've been in a charismatic church a few years, we have heard the scripture, and we all would apply that this scripture kind of makes me feel like I need to sell everything that I have. The scripture, it's borderline there that the church is asking me to don't value my life at all, but just get rid of everything, and that will be a good thing for me to do. But where I want to get at is the end of verse 8, actually the beginning of verse 9. And I didn't put it on the slide there. The first four words of verse 9, and be found in Him. So through this whole process of actually counting everything that we have on this earth, because we can have many things, we don't count that as value. We don't count those riches that we boast in as value to our lives when it comes to our faith. So once again, not boasting in our own riches, not boasting in our own strength, but actually boasting in God alone. And through that, and actually gaining Him, we get to a place where we are found in Him. We are found in Him. And now I'm bringing that a little bit back to who am I? Who am I? So through this whole process of having a choice, being committed to a choice, not really boasting in our strength, riches, or wisdom, but then we come to a place where we finally get to know Him. My next point is the change. And through this process of having a choice, being committed, knowing that God has a desire for us to know Him, we, as Christians, our lives start to adapt. Our lives start to change. Ephesians 4, verse 21 to 24. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on then a new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness. We have a choice. We made a choice. We are choosing to build our house on the rock or not. We are committed to investing in our home, not boasting in our own strength, wisdom, or riches. And if we walk in this process, our lives start to change. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him. So, Paul is saying to the church of Ephesus, so I think you guys have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. I think you guys have heard the gospel of Jesus. So because you have heard this, put off then your old self. Like, lay down the old ways that you had. And through this process, put on a new self. Put on a new created image after the likeness of God. So it's a change that happens in our hearts when we come to a place where our lives actually start to change. And that is only because we made a choice and we were committed to that choice. And when we walk in those ways every day, it's a daily thing. Our lives start to change and our lives start to swing into the into the likeness of God. Not because of our own strength, wisdom, or riches. Not because I desire that, but because we are doing it from a heart that's pure, not boasting in ourselves. We come to a place of knowing God even more. There was a man in Matthew 13, verse 34, and Jesus speaks about this as well. There was a man who found a treasure that was like the kingdom of God, and he sold everything that he had just to gain that field. And in the same way, we as Christians must value the kingdom of God. We must value knowing and understanding God to such an extent that we are willingly, from our own hearts, prepared to sell everything that we have just that we may gain Christ, just that we may know Him. And that's a state of heart, that's a state of mind that we go and get into when God is leading us into a place of, Lord, I really want to know You. I want to understand You. But am I willing, am I boasting in myself, because I can take care of myself, or am I boasting in Him alone, and the desire is being prompted for me to lean on Him, to rely on Him even more than we have ever before. And that is where the gain comes in. So the next point is the gain as well. Matthew 16 verse 24 to 25 is only two verses, and I'll also read it from my Bible. And then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it." So now we come to a place where there is gain. We are gaining Christ above ourselves, but actually we are gaining our own lives, as the scripture just said. If we are willing to lose our own lives for the sake of Christ, for God's sake, for His sake, for Jesus' sake, then actually we will gain our lives. And yes, He is speaking in terms of eternity. We lose ourselves now, but we gain everlasting life. But through the process, we start to know who we are. But the root of that is laying down our lives for the sake of Christ and for His name's sake. But the root of that, once again, is coming to a place where we seek and desire to know Him and to understand Him. I don't want to entertain my own words when I speak this morning. I want the scripture to just reveal itself. And if we come to a place where we can see that God has a desire for our lives, but in effect, that alone will not prompt me to make a choice and to be committed to that choice. That will not prompt me to even change my own life, my own ways, and just knowing that God has a desire for me wouldn't bring me to a place where I would say, I am actually gaining my own life because I know Him. But there's an interesting story, and this is actually what I want to end off. I will only keep you busy for 20 minutes, so don't worry. Lunch will be ready. The band can come on so long and just play some songs. I think this morning we are just going to respond to what God is telling us. When Moses, back in the day, in the Old Testament, when Moses went up to the mountain and he spent time with God on top of the mountain. When Moses was there, God gave Moses the law. Now, we know the law was what the Israelites had to do. So the law kind of worked like this. It worked like, okay, do this, do this, do this. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. If you do this, this will happen. So there was like this cycle that happened that the Israelites constantly failed. Constantly, they were keeping to the law, keeping to the law, keeping to the law, got nonchalant, and then God punished them. because they started to go after other gods. They started to serve other gods, and they started to explore things beyond what God told Moses on the mountain. But I don't want to stay with the law. So the law is called Moses, so the law of Moses. But what I want to get at is, when Moses was on top of the mountain, he spent hours up there while God was giving him the law. When Moses came down, his face was shining. Like there was a glare upon his face just because he was in the presence and the glory of God. And all of a sudden, he's just reflecting like sunlight out of his face. I can't think it in my mind how it should be like. But the scripture says it like he was shining. But then Moses decided he's going to cover his face with a veil. And he's going to close his face in order that the Israelites will be able to look at him. Because at this stage they can't look at him because his face is shining. So they won't even attempt to look at Moses' face. But if we go to 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to read this with me. Because it's a big part of the scripture, and I want it to be as clear as possible. The music is not to persuade you with our emotions, though it is to ready our hearts after this to just respond in worship when we are done. So go and read the whole of 2 Corinthians 3. The whole passage is going about the new covenant. So old covenant was what Moses received from the mountain. New covenant is what Jesus Christ came to do. So I want to read from verse 12 to 18. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. So what I want to explain quickly there is when we read the old covenant, so imagine we are in the time of Jesus. Just after that, Jesus brought a division. Jesus brought a fork in the road. So the one way will, okay, I'm going to commit to the covenant and the law of Moses and understand all my forefathers served that God, the God of Moses, the God of the covenant that God gave to Moses. But now Jesus comes. Most people will think he's the weirdest guy on earth, but Jesus brought a fork in the road and he created the choice for them. So Paul is saying that if we are to still read the covenant of Moses, then we follow in that. And the veil, like Moses closed his face, the veil is over his face. So actually, we aren't gaining anything. Let me go on. In the end of verse 14. Because only through Christ Jesus it is taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So when we make a choice, the veil is removed. The fork in the road, we make a choice. We stay committed to the choice. Our lives start to change and we gain Christ. But not because of myself, but because of Christ Jesus. Let me go on. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. All of us, because of Christ Jesus, have a choice. And the choice deviates, and we commit to the choice, and our lives start to change. We start to gain Christ. We are being transformed into the image of and the likeness of God from one degree of glory to another. So it is pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. Scripture doesn't soften it for us. If we still live in our lives with a veil over our faces, we aren't getting the full inheritance, the full gain that God actually wanted for us. Because He's sitting there and He's waiting for us to seek me, understand me, know me, read the scriptures and long for me even more than you have before. Because the Israelites and everyone who read the Old Covenant, it's much harder than it was for us. They had to spend day and night reading the scriptures, understanding the law, and they had to live by these rules. It was do this, don't do this, don't do this, do that, then I will punish you. And obviously they failed many times, but because of Christ Jesus, that law is just, everything is just gone. But yet there is still a choice. Just because the old covenant is gone, like the religiousness is gone, doesn't mean there's still a choice. Doesn't mean there isn't a tree just standing in the middle of the garden and it's like, it's not there, it's not, but it is there. And we are being tempted by that. And especially within South Africa, religion is such a big factor within our lives. We barely get to a place where it's okay. I grew up with church. I grew up with knowing God and knowing about God. But according to scripture and according to my life, when I was trying to find myself, I also grew up in a Christian home. I got saved when I was 14. But barely did I know God wanted me to know and understand Him. And only because of Christ Jesus, we can gain life. Only because of Christ Jesus, we can gain life. Only because of Christ Jesus, He is changing our lives. Not the old covenant, not the law, but only through Jesus. Only through Jesus do we even have the slightest prompting within our hearts to commit to this. We only have a small little part that He is just igniting within our hearts that we can say, I'm committed. I don't even know why I'm committed. I don't want to be committed, but God is doing something in my heart. But I'm just doing it. Because God is placing Jesus, through Jesus Christ, we are receiving this. And only through Jesus Christ is there a choice for us to make. There's a choice for us to make to build a house on the rock. Our lives will be transformed into the image and the likeness of God. And only through Jesus Christ, only through the Holy Spirit, are we even able to look up and to know that God is sitting there, anxiously waiting to see us, seeking Him, understanding Him, knowing Him above all. He's sitting there waiting, waiting to see us move, waiting us to sit down, close the doors, close our eyes, and open our hearts for Him to come in so that we can understand Him and know Him. I wish I could persuade you even more, but I can't. I can't go beyond Scripture. I can't go beyond what is the truth and what is written. But this morning, I just want us to respond to this. I just want us to sing two or three songs again. We can do all the songs from the front again. And we can just sing. But from that place when we sing these songs, think about this. Think about this, that we have a choice to make. We are committed to this choice because of Christ Jesus. Our lives will change. If your life hasn't changed, and obviously it has, because we have been on this earth a couple of years and we know ourselves. But still, God is working within us. Our lives can change daily. And we can gain Christ above all. We can gain our own lives. We can know who we are within Him. And the result is, the veil has been removed. And we can just reflect the glory of God. People can look at us and they can see Christ-likeness. They can see holiness. They can see righteousness within our lives. But we can just reflect that. We can just reflect that. And that's the only thing who I am. I want to be that. I want to be that guy that people can see. Yo, I can see Christ in you. And you can just reflect that And you don't have to hide your face behind a veil because the glory of the Lord is with you. Go to God and remove the veil so that He can actually just use you to reflect Him to the world. So that He can reflect Himself to people and make known His heart and His ways through you for the world. We can stand and we can actually do the set list from the back to the front.
From the start.
From the achterkant af.
From the achterkant af.
Yeah. So then we can just stand and we're just gonna sing all the songs again. If I feel we're only doing two or three, I will stop us. But please, if you want to come and meet God this morning, just come to the front and just kneel here, sit down, and just spend time with Him. If you want prayer, I will stand here and we can pray for one another. But may there be a prompting upon our hearts to seek Him and to know Him and to understand Him. And that's actually a process for our own lives to go through. It's a choice that we can make to invest ourselves in Him. Lord, we just lay our lives before You now. We just lay our lives before You, hoping that You will come and work within us, that we may understand and know You. Holy Spirit, You are here with us. Come and do, and come and please God with our lives. Use our lives, Lord. Use our lives.